Hi, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today and to help prepare students to thrive. I can hardly believe it, but we just wrapped up our first season of Education Conversations, and I want to start by taking a moment to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in, giving us your input, and helping to make our podcast premiere a success. So thanks to all of you for following us. We're going to do something a little different in today's podcast. This past year, we realized that some of our most listened to topics revolved around relationships and resiliency. So we've put together a compilation of clips from several of our amazing guests who spoke about the importance and value of relationships. I'm going to start with Ronique Major, who among many of her life accomplishments was honored this year as the 2024 Elementary and District Teacher of the Year. Ronique was quick to point out that a key to her success were the people in her life, particularly the educators who made an impression on her, one of which showed up actually at the Teacher of the Year ceremony to celebrate her achievement. So take a listen to her answer when I asked what were the qualities that made her teachers so special as to have made such an impact on her life.
I think they saw me. They saw who I was. The one teacher that you're speaking of in particular, Laura Welch, who was my fourth grade teacher, who was the toughest teacher I've ever had. I'm proud to say that I'm turning into her. But every teacher I've had, and when I tell you, I literally have had 1.5 bad teachers from nursery school to 12th grade. Just 1.5. And every teacher I had, just they saw me for who I was. They celebrated my strengths. They stretched me when they could, when I would allow it. I just had great, great teachers, and they were just personable. They definitely built a relationship with me. I think of one of my teachers that she lives in, I think, North Carolina or Tennessee. She was my Spanish teacher. I had her from 9th grade to 12th grade. Mm. And we would go on Spanish competitions. We would go to her house. We practiced. And I just was always around her. And she just had the best personality. So when I'm celebrating things on Facebook about my other students or my accomplishments, to have her say something, to have her compliment me, means the world to me. She is a treasure to me. Just, you know, I'm still in touch with all my teachers. If they're still breathing, I'm in touch with them.
Yeah.
And I love every single one of them. I love that. I'm who I am today because of them.
The fact that those teachers are still influencing Ronique today, a very successful adult, mind you, is testament to the power of those relationships. And she acknowledges that they made her who she is today. You know, it's important for everyone to be seen and heard. And as Ronique mentioned, she talked about that a lot. And imagine moving to a foreign country as a high school student and trying to navigate a whole new way of life, a new language, customs, and then, of course, the COVID pandemic. So we've got some great insights from this next person, Venice High School teacher Josh Grant, and a recent Riverview High School graduate, Carolina Paulus, who moved to Florida from Poland when she was just a freshman. In our podcast, Students Today, a High School Perspective, Carolina was honest about her struggles and the safety she found waiting for her in her classrooms. And so when I asked her about the importance of relationships, this is what she had to say.
When I got here my freshman year, I was struggling with really bad anxiety, and it happened that I had panic attacks in class and I had to leave the class. And what was really essential for me to have that teacher's support and knowing that even if I had a hard day, I can just come over and like hug them. And, you know, sometimes I had to eat in class because I couldn't lunch due to the stress and I would go hungry. And, you know, they understood my situation and I felt like I'm in a safe space, and that made me calm down. And you know, throughout, I work with my anxiety. I don't have those issues anymore, but I'm so grateful to those teachers that allow me, you know, to feel better in their presence and just focus on studying more than just, you know, what's going on in my mind and in my body.
Great response.
And as I previously stated, we may be the most stable adults they see all day at any given point, because there have been, you know, you hear so many times about kids with issues with home life, with families, with parents and things like that, and instability in the home. So it's paramount to the success of everybody for teachers and students to have those relationships, to learn from one another, to get through these struggling times.
Josh makes a good point that sometimes a teacher can be one of the most important relationships a student might have in their lives, and Carolina shows how valuable the care she received from her teachers was for her when she spoke last fall. She was excited to start her first year at the University of South Florida, and she is truly a shining example of resiliency. And Carolina, if you are listening, a big hug of success and love to you. But what happens when a student doesn't have those relationships in their life? In our podcast, Building Resilient Students, Executive Director of Student Services for Sarasota County Schools, Deb Jackalone, talks about that and what the Florida Department of Education is doing to help.
And there's tons of great research on this, but just talking from like a humanistic approach, and what I actually see is isolation, lack of belonging, kids not wanting to come to school, kids not reaching their full potential, not being the best version of yourself, not knowing about the opportunities that exist out there. I am just a very strong believer that everybody has to have somebody. And I believe as educators, it's our responsibility to make sure that we help form those connections and relationships early on for every student.
That's very appropriate to say that. And as we've been also seeing a lot of changes in the students' well-being or lack thereof, their struggles have certainly become a little bit more visible. What have you seen over the last 5 to 10 years that most concerns you? What steps is even the school district doing to help address some of those challenges?
Okay, so that's a big question.
Yeah, it
and
is.
It's a really important question. You know, over the last 5 to 10 years, I think that we've experienced things in this country that we have never experienced, or many people in our, you know, age range have never experienced before. We went through a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was huge, which totally changed the course of many people's lives. And for a period of time, it changed our routines and what we considered typical. Also the impact that that had on families. So not only on our students, but the people who take care of our students, the people who feed our kids every day and get them to school when families are struggling, you know, to get work or to get to work or trying to do your work with kids at home. It was a very difficult thing. So the impact on the family has been huge. But what I love about being an educator in Florida is that I really feel like we now have the opportunity to do the things that our team really does best, and that's focus on prevention and intervention, because we know that we are able to prevent a lot of things from escalating to a level where it becomes a crisis situation, mm-hmm. or you need extensive help outside of the school setting.
So that's actually saying your team is poised to not only be reactive, providing the interventions, but you're also poised to be proactive and helping to just completely mitigate and prevent any of these things from taking shape. Is that
what? 100%.
Yeah. So let's tie that into the Florida Department of Education. And as they, you know, they're still developing the resiliency toolkit. We're eagerly awaiting for it to be, you know, published. I know they put a whole lot of work and time into it, and they've had their own collaborations and partnerships with the Mental Health Collaborative that's helping to guide some of that
right.
work. We've identified kind of 14 resiliency traits that are kind of being embedded both in classroom instruction and then through some community initiatives. I know the Education Foundation is certainly involved in some of the things. What can you share about this initiative and the role the district has in implementing these resiliency traits? And are you hopeful for the direction that it's moving into?
I am. I'm very hopeful. And I love what you said about the resiliency toolkit. The DOE is putting together a fabulous toolkit. And every day we're noticing more and more resources are being added to that toolkit, which is great to have resources that are aligned to the standards that can be implemented in our classrooms for our students. I'm also really excited about the resiliency standards that have been released. And we now know that these things are really important to teach to our students, and there's a standard of excellence for teaching those standards. So we're excited about that. We're doing a lot of work with resiliency. We had a team come together this summer who worked on creating some lessons that were aligned to those standards. And now we're actually seeing the fruits of our labor. We're putting those standards into practice in our classrooms for our students.
There are many tools and resources that are available for teachers, parents, and students, and the Resiliency Toolkit is one such example. But even you, our listeners, can be involved in helping students thrive. And in our podcast, Relationships That Matter, Education Foundation volunteer Leslie Chase talks about the value of mentorship.
Kids don't always have the support that they need at home or in school. So I feel the mentors through the Education Foundation sometimes provide an important piece. We have more students now, I think, that are first generation that have come through the mentor program of the Education Foundation. So although their family members certainly want the best for them, they may not have had the knowledge to be able to point them in the right direction for college or their post-high school career. So I see the relationships that the Education Foundation can help provide through mentors allow these kids to become successful.
If you have an interest in becoming a mentor, we always welcome your involvement. So please be sure to visit our website at edfoundationsrq.org. And I want to pivot now to someone who researched and used just about every resource he could find to help him on a hard and long path to success. In our podcast, Relationship Resources and Resiliency, Josiah Straw shares his remarkable story about how he went from being a homeless high school student to an innovative, thriving young man. In this clip, Josiah points out his resiliency is a result of many positive relationships along the way.
Well, I would start by commenting that I'm only here today because there is an incredible list of people who went out of their way an insane number of times to make sure that I was able to take the next step ahead and in front of me. And yes, it was hard, but it would be totally ridiculous for me to claim that I got here by myself. That said, the one thing that I can claim is that I got very good at asking for help when I was younger. And it's an awkward thing to do. And there's a lot of shame built into asking people for help, especially when you have to do it many, many times. And I basically came to terms with the fact that if I don't start asking people for help, then that becomes my fault because I'm the only one who's going to do it. It's unrealistic for me to expect people to actually step out of their way to help me unless I give them a reason to do so. And so I got good at asking for help, and I got past the shame and embarrassment of doing it. And I got good at talking to people who are 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than I was. And I did that by reading the news every day and figuring out what they were talking about. So whenever I went over to somebody's house, for example, I would listen into the conversation with their parents and their parents' friends. I said, oh, I was just reading about that on, I think at the time, Yahoo News or something in the morning. And I was actually able to have more seemingly natural conversations with those groups of people who took an interest in me because that was just an odd experience, I imagine, for them. And it gave me an opportunity to say, yeah, well, here's who I am, and here's what I'm struggling with today and tomorrow and the next week, and would love if you have any ideas on how I can address these couple of items I'm trying to solve for in the near term.
If you haven't listened to Josiah's full podcast, I encourage you to do so. You will come away inspired for sure. I know I certainly was deeply moved by him. And I want to end this podcast on a positive note, and that came from Mandy O'Malley, the Director of Outreach and Training at Resilient Retreat. In our podcast, Resiliency and Well-Being, Mandy shared tips on how teachers and parents can take care of themselves when things get rough, which in turn makes them better at building relationships with their students or children. So here's Mandy.
The first thing is remembering that we're modeling the behavior. So as helping professionals, we all worry about taking care of other people, and we feel selfish when we take care of ourselves. I have fallen into that. I think many helpers think I'm so worried about taking care of everyone else. Teachers are worried about their students. But we forget the impact that modeling the behavior has. For me, I can help give myself permission to take better care of my own resilience by thinking, how do I want my sons to behave? Because they're going to behave the way they see me doing it, not the way I tell them to do it. Mm-hmm. And so for teachers, I think it's really important. I also think it's a really important guideline to think, how can I de-escalate a situation if I can't de-escalate my own feelings? So I have to learn tools to go back to being regulated and calm and show that I can make a mistake. I can get upset, but this is how I come back from it. Mm-hmm. This is how I move forward, because that's what students are watching. And then continuing to build those relationships so that when students are struggling, when your colleagues are struggling, it's a safe place. Mm-hmm. Brené Brown writes all of the time throughout her books about this magical formula that is really simple, but yet we find it to be really hard. And it's when vulnerability is met with empathy. Mm-hmm. And every chance we have to meet vulnerability with empathy reinforces the fact that it's okay to feel however I'm feeling, and no feeling is final.
Thanks everybody so much for listening to today's podcast, and thank you for supporting our first year of Education Conversations. Please catch up on this year's episodes over the summer, and be sure to tune in to season 2 this August for another exciting year of Education Conversations. To listen to our podcast or to learn more about us, you can visit us at edfoundationsrq.org. So for now, everyone, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.